Our scripture today comes from John chapter 20, beginning with verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, man, we'd love you to send those to us. We want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Hey, if you've ever had questions or doubts during your faith journey, today is for you. We're looking at Thomas' reaction to the news of Jesus' resurrection. St. Thomas, often referred to as Doubting Thomas, could be declared the patron saint of the 21st century. There are so many doubters both in and outside of the church in our day. Thomas started there too, but things changed. Last week, we looked at Mary's reaction to the resurrection. After the horror of watching the crucifixion, my guess is that when Mary first heard the news of Jesus' resurrection, she seized upon it. All of her life, she had held on to powerful experiences that she had had. The angel Gabriel appeared to her. Shepherds came. Wise men journeyed from afar. Simeon and Anna had come in the temple. She had more invested in Jesus' life and ministry than anybody. She had carried him in her own womb. I think Mary was quick to say, "I believe." Thomas, on the other hand, did not immediately believe. Yes, Thomas had given 3 years of his life following Jesus. He had heard and seen the message and the miracles and was captivated by Jesus and his mission. He was on the A team. But when Jesus died on the cross, it really affected him, devastated him. And after that, he didn't know exactly what to do. We don't know a lot about Thomas. Much of the time we associate him with doubt, but we do know a few other things about him. So, what various things about Thomas's journey can speak to us? Well, first of all, I'd say this: Thomas was no coward. In John 11, Lazarus, Jesus' friend, is sick, and Jesus talks about going back to Judea where he was, and the disciples aren't so sure about that. "Lord, we were in the Jerusalem area recently, and because of some of the things you said, there were people there who wanted to stone you. We are not sure if going back there is such a good idea." And yet, when Jesus finally said, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm going back so that you may believe," it was Thomas who spoke up in John 11:16. "Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go that we may die with him.'" Thomas was no coward. In the heat of the moment, when Jesus' conviction about returning to Jerusalem was clear, Thomas was willing to go with him and die. Secondly, I'd say, we see that Thomas was no wallflower. In the upper room after the Passover meal, when Jesus was trying to comfort his disciples and prepare them for what was going to happen, he said, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am, and you know the way to the place that I'm going." Well, in the middle of Jesus sharing, Thomas spoke up in John 14:5. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Thomas spoke up. He voiced his question. I always appreciate persons that do that. Sometimes something doesn't make sense to them, and so they have a question or they speak up. Thomas was that kind of person. He was not afraid to speak his mind or ask questions. Questions are good. They often help us get closer to understanding. Third, I'd say one of the main things I see from our text today is this: Jesus' death shipwrecked Thomas's faith post-shipwrecked. He was devastated, distraught, and had to get away. He didn't know what to think, how to feel. He was just stunned. And so while the rest of the disciples huddled together, Thomas got away by himself. He wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. He missed it. Sometimes we too can miss something God wants to do in our lives. We isolate ourselves. We disconnect from being active in a faith community. That happened to so many of us during COVID, and since then, many things pull us in different directions. But hear this: we have to consciously decide to stay connected in the body of Christ, or we miss out. God has things for us through the body of Christ, and we miss out. Thomas wasn't there, and he missed it. And when he came back, it was his shipwrecked faith that caused him to say, "I can't, I won't believe." John 20:24 reads, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, or put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.'" Thomas was hurting. He was struggling. He was upset. And because of his shipwrecked faith, even though his fellow disciples were telling him that Jesus was alive, he couldn't believe it. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had shipwrecked faith or known someone who has? Sometimes things happen, not what we planned, and we're blindsided. A death, a loss, a disappointment, a breakup, a separation, a divorce, a wreck, an injury, a diagnosis, an injustice, a calamity, a tragedy. And so there's suffering, heartache, grief. We're left with a head full of questions and no clear answers. What then? How do we respond when our ship, our life, is wrecked, smashed into pieces against the reef? For Thomas, the answer was to get away, to try and deal with it alone. That's what a lot of us want to do. We want to deal with our grief and our pain alone. I can handle it myself. But often, the sorrow, the grief, the pain, the questions run too deep. We need help. We need help from God. We need help from other people. But we live in denial. Or we have our pride. Or we don't want to admit that we need help. When Thomas did come back to the disciples, his unresolved anguish and pain caused him to declare, "Unless I see and touch Jesus alive myself, I will not believe. How do we respond to persons with shipwrecked faith? I think of three things. First of all, love. People with shipwrecked faith are often struggling, hurting, wounded, angry, depressed. They need to be loved. Post loved in the chat. They need to be cared for. They need to be held. In the aftermath of a great tragedy or calamity, we have a basic need to know that somehow in the midst of it all, we are loved. That should be our first response to people with shipwrecked faith, love. A second thing, grace. People with shipwrecked faith often say and do things out of anger and frustration. We need to give them space to deal with their pain. They don't need judgment. They don't need advice. They need people who can listen and who could extend them grace they need to get through. Harry Emerson Fosdick was pastor of New York's Riverside Church and spent many hours counseling students from nearby Columbia University. One evening, a young man burst into his study and announced, "I've decided I cannot and do not believe in God." All right, but describe for me the God you don't believe in." Well, the student began to talk about his idea of God. Fosdick listened. When he finished, Fosdick said, "Well, I guess we're in the same boat. I don't believe in that God either." People with shipwrecked faith need love, they need grace, and finally, compassion. When someone has shipwrecked faith, they need to experience compassion and acceptance. Jesus did that. He was always reaching out to outcasts, sinners, the poor, the hurting, and including them in the kingdom party. Remember the man in Mark 9:24 whose son was possessed by an unclean spirit? He came to Jesus asking for help, and Jesus said, "Everything is possible for him who believes." "Lord, I believe," he said, "help my unbelief." How many people are shipwrecked outside of the church today because they have struggles or doubts? They wrestle with unbelief. We need to have compassion for them, to help them feel welcome, to help them in their struggles. That's why I so appreciate our recovery ministry DNA at Christ Church. We have a recovery ministry DNA, our current grief share ministry, our help for hurting parents ministries are meeting people's needs today. Our previous Celebrate Recovery, divorce recovery ministries met many needs as well. We hope to revive those ministries again someday soon. The truth is we're all in recovery from something. All of us have our own hurts, habits, hang-ups that need to be addressed. Celebrate Recovery helped me deal with my own issues of workaholism, anger and control, fear of failure, and compulsive eating. People who are struggling need our love, grace, and compassion. Next thing to notice about Thomas, he stayed in the faith community. It was the best thing he could do. He stayed. Initially, he got off by himself. He had some alone time, but eventually he came back and he dealt with his struggle in the midst of the other disciples. That was a huge step. Best thing he could have done. Isolated, the enemy can do a number on us when we are struggling in faith. But in community, we have the support and the encouragement we need. Lots of Christian leaders have gone through dark nights of the soul, periods of struggle and doubt. Leaders like Martin Luther, John Wesley, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Henry Nouwen, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa. But do you know the secret that helped them to come through it on the other side? They stayed in community. They kept themselves connected with other believers. It's okay to have doubts and struggles in the midst of our faith journey. Alfred Lord Tennyson said this, "There lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds." One of the things I love about the book of Psalms is that the psalmist expresses honest doubt. God isn't predictable, and life is often confusing, and they often let God have it. They told God they didn't understand. They fought with God. They argued with Him, questioned Him, scolded Him. In Psalm 73, the psalmist is frustrated that sinners prosper while the righteous suffer and calls God to task for the injustice of it all, and yet in the end says, "Nevertheless, I am always with Thee." In other words, Lord, I may be upset, but I wouldn't want to try to navigate life without You. Next, Thomas had shipwrecked faith, but he stayed in the community of faith, and eventually Jesus came. A core doctrine of our faith is that Jesus does visit us with His presence and power. Through faith in Christ, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. John Wesley was key to say, this gift of the Holy Spirit, we need to embrace it and experience it in all of its fullness. The Holy Spirit lives within us, leads us and guides us into all the truth, equips us and empowers us for ministry, comforts and encourages us along the way. Jesus said, "I'm going away, but my Father will send you the Holy Spirit." This is how we usually experience Jesus' presence and power today, through the Holy Spirit. But in Thomas's case, Jesus came personally. John 20, verse 26 and 27. A week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and what? Believe." Thomas' doubt and unbelief were obliterated, gone. He saw, he touched, he responded the way I hope everyone would. "My Lord and my God." Jesus, You are my Lord and my God. I believe Jesus can and still does make special appearances to some people in the world today. And one day, the Scripture says, we will all see Him. But the last thing Jesus said to Thomas was a challenge intended for you and me as well. John 20, 29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In the end, following Jesus will always require faith. On this side of heaven, we will still wrestle with questions and struggles and doubts. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, 12, "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully." We're going to have our unanswered questions here, but our faith is reasonable, and we walk in the light of Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. And we practice our faith not alone, but together in the body of Christ. And our faith works in everyday experience. Someone has said, faith is walking to the edge of the light you have and then taking one more step. So when we come to that point where we are standing on the edge of doubt and we see no clear path ahead, we take one more step in the direction of the light that we have and trust that God is with us And that's where we find God, right there on the edge of faith. I don't know about you, but right there on the edge of faith, I have what I call holy nausea. I get right there on the edge of faith. My gut is churning. I'm not exactly comfortable, but I know that God is with me, and I know that right then, as I take that step of faith, that this faith thing is real. God is with me, and He goes with me step by step, and He'll do the same with you. Amen? So let's pray about it. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious God, mighty Creator, loving Lord, we thank You for Thomas. He was no coward. He was no wallflower, but Jesus' death really did affect him. He didn't know what to do, what to say. He had to get away. And because of everything that had happened, he couldn't bring himself to believe. Sometimes we experience shipwrecked faith. Things happen. We're hurt, angry, distraught. We don't know what to think. We don't know what to believe. And yet, Lord, You met Thomas with love, grace, and compassion. And we know You have the same love and care for us. So help us walk through our own times of doubt and struggle and pain. And keep us connected with You in prayer and study, and connected with one another in the body of Christ, the church. When it's working like You intend, there's nothing like the power of the local church to change lives and impact the world. Finally, Lord, when we do have doubts, enable us to step out in the light we have and trust You to meet us there, out there on the edge of faith. Meet us there with Your love, Your grace, and Your power. We need You, Lord. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to hear from you, want to pray for you. Thank you again for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to continue to reach out to people everywhere for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online. You can use the app or the website anytime to make prayer requests or contributions. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, though Jesus' death had shipwrecked Thomas's faith, he stayed in community, and Jesus came eventually to restore him. His hope came alive. For now, who do you know that needs to have this same hope come alive in their life? You share with them about it.
I'm pretty smart.
Yeah.
I pinned a Rolex to the outside of my house.
Okay.
It's a neighborhood watch now.
Okay. We are thrilled to announce a fellowship event for the women of CUMC. Join us as we share stories about the special women in our lives. Delicious food, engaging fellowship, and a fun craft activity will be provided.
Our last first Wednesday of spring features a special concert by the Tulsa Festival Ringers and a testimony from the Coffee Bunker. The Coffee Bunker supports veterans and their families in their transition to civilian life through personal and professional development. Join us at First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
Discover CUMC is coming up. Do you have questions about Christ Church? You're invited to join us for snacks and conversation on April 23rd. You can find answers to your questions, join the church, or learn about ways to become more connected. Sign up at the Connect Center.
You can find all this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.